Hey everyone, welcome back to this week's Weekly D. And as you know, we are talking about social media this series. So of course I had to get the social media and branding queen, Harriet from Hella Heels, HOA and CXIX. I'm so excited for you to hear this because this is super insightful for anyone who ever wants to start a brand, but also she's going to give us a lot of insight on what she thinks is a good do and don't for social media. So without further ado, this is the Weekly D, because honey, if you ain't getting your D on the daily, you better at least be getting it once on the weekly.
Weekly D. If you're not getting any and you want some tea, then come and join Dan up on the Weekly D. It's the Weekly D.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the lovely Harriet from Hella Heels. How are you, babe?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I said, like, from Hella Heels, actually. That's my always go-to for you. Do you find that everyone associates you mainly with Hella Heels rather than... which is funny, because no. Hella Heels wasn't even, like, your first one, was it?
Yeah, no, I think CXIX is the one that a lot of people say first. But yeah, recently Hella Heels is like the cool kid on the block. So it depends. It depends where I am. Yeah, people pick and choose. And sometimes they don't know. They're like, you own the other one as well.
I know. I just find, like, for some reason, like, always go to. Maybe it's because we've done a lot of, like, giveaways with you for, like, Hella Heels polls and stuff. So maybe that's just not my go-to. It was the first one I think of.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, thank you so much for joining me. Like, today we're obviously talking about social media. And as I told you before we started, I have a hell of a lot of questions for you because you are an expert at social media. Where did you get started on your social media journey? Did you, there's like a little fly flying
there
around.
There is, yeah. I'm like, get away.
Go away, fly. How would you say you got started on your social media journey? Like, did you find that your kind of real kick on social media was for your businesses, or did you really try going hard on your personal page first? Or
I think when I started CXIX and when my personal page started was very much in those early days when social media, if you were kind of half good, you could grow pretty quick and there wasn't much competition out there for it. So, I mean, I've stayed at a very similar amount of followers. Maybe I've maybe raised a couple of thousand on my personal in the last like 4 years or something. I haven't really grown much on that, but then I don't really post as much on that. So I grew quite quickly in the beginning just because I was doing some like mad tricks at a time when there wasn't that many of us doing stuff like that. I wasn't at the level of growing like heaps. I wasn't a Sarah Scott or anything like that, but that was quite easy for me. And similarly with CXIX, which used to be Creatures of XIX, there wasn't many brands out there. You posted a few poll videos in some stuff and you'd grow. But the real growth for us with CXIX in the beginning was the Gecko Grip videos, because I think that was quite interesting for people to see. It was a really cool campaign. And we had the likes of Felix Kane wearing them and stuff. And that was when Felix, I don't even know if she had Instagram herself. So it was quite good to kind of have that kind of content going out on there. So early days, sort of 8-9 years ago, I think it was just so much easier to grow quickly. And that's how I got started. Not no secret magical thing. It was, I think, quite a bit of timing was quite fruitious. Serendipitous. Good.
Such big words. Babe, it's like half 9 in the morning here. I can't be dealing with big words. I know it's quite late there.
I clearly can't be dealing with big words either. You know what
and
I
how
mean?
How many years ago was that? Like, how many years ago was Gecko Grip? How many years are we talking?
9.
Wow, okay. So it's quite a long time ago.
Yeah, I
so
think
still like Instagram, it would have been fairly newish. Like, it wouldn't have been new, but like, it wasn't as big as it is now. I mean, it's funny you talking about like it was so much easier to grow then. And like, a lot of people are like, wow, you've built up like a really good following. I'm like, babe, this is a following that I've built up over such a long period of time that actually I don't think it is actually that good. If you spread it over the amount of years I've been on social media, it's just so much more difficult now.
Yeah.
But I don't know, do you, with your businesses, do you ever pay for adverts and stuff? Because back in the day, I used to do for my studio. This was before I had any other businesses. For my studio, I used to do like I used to boost my posts on Facebook. This was when Facebook was more of a thing rather than Instagram. And I would boost my posts, and no word of a lie, I'd probably put £10 on an ad, and I would get so many comments from £10. And now you've got to spend hundreds to get anywhere near that amount. And it's just crazy. Have you noticed a big difference on things like that?
Yeah, definitely. We were the same. So back in the day, CXAX, we'd boost posts. And sorry, I'm trying to keep my dog quiet by giving her a bone. So if there's crunching, that's that. But single mum life, I want to take her out just to keep her quiet because she's quite chatty. Sorry. Facebook and Instagram posts we would boost, but again, it would be like £5 across 2 days. So it was so minimal, right, and you'd see a huge difference. And now we don't really spend that much on ads because we see a little bit, because I think people will see an ad and then they'll go and check the, they'll click on the Instagram page and go and look, because our Facebook and Instagram ads, if for those of you who know ads, Facebook and Instagram, it's the same platform to advertise on them. So you do your ads, you select that you want them to be shown on Facebook stories and Instagram stories, or maybe you just want them on the normal newsfeed or whatever for Instagram and for Facebook. And we put a bit of money behind that. So I think that does help a little bit of growth, but not much. I don't think it does anymore, no. No,
I don't know that it helps for, it's really funny, I don't know that it helps for growth of following, but do you find it helps with growth of sales?
I'm not sure. We've actually gone quite deep into this recently. We've been doing like server-side tracking and a few other things analytically, and we just think that what Facebook are saying is conversions is so not true. So not we're right. currently in the middle of a bit of an investigation where we're not sure, but we spend not very much on ads compared to what we're making. It's a small part of the business.
If you, so don't say obviously the actual number, but are we talking hundreds or thousands a month?
Thousands, but early thousands.
I was saying that, that's Aussie dollars, isn't it? I don't even know what that conversion is. Like, what's a thousand Aussie dollars in pounds? Do you know?
No, I'm talking pounds because obviously the business is UK, so I still deal with pounds a lot.
Oh, you're still talking pounds. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So still thousands of pounds. And you don't consider that a lot?
No, early thousands. Early thousands. Like whether you're going maybe £1,000 a month, something like that, say. Which I don't think is a lot.
I mean, obviously compared to the size of your business. Are you talking about across all your businesses or per business?
Per brand. Yeah.
Per brand. Wow. I mean,
for Hella, we do a lot less. So I'm thinking CXAX here, sorry. That's a little bit more. Okay. But also that's because we're trying to grow into new markets. Like we've got, we have ads whenever there's like a restock or a launch, for example. And then we also have ads coming out for like mainstream dance or festival fits, that kind of thing. So CXAX is a bit more. For Hella, we don't as much because my main priority for Hella has been getting on top of stock.
So there's no point in trying to get stock.
There's just no point in pumping out the ads when you're selling at a good rate anyway, and you know you're probably going to sell out before you manage to restock either way. So
I was going to say, you sell out so quick, I don't suppose you even need to with Hella, do you?
I mean, it's good to kind of get your name out there for new people, people that have maybe never bought but have been on your website, kind of thing, just to kind of be like, hello, we're here. But yeah, minimally. And I don't think it helps grow the socials particularly, but I do think it's good for branding to kind of have visibility there. Yeah.
For sure. And in terms of your brand, like obviously your brand very much started with pole dancers. And like, you know how Pleasers, they've got their pole dancer customer base, but like they've also got the fetish customer base too. Yeah. The people who just love, maybe like have a heels fetish, or they're just quite into heels, or they just like those type of heels.
Yeah.
Would you say your customer base has changed over the years? Because obviously you're so much bigger now. Would you say that your customer base is more similar to that now?
No, I still think we're super early days with that. So for Hella, our customer base is what we like to call pole dance hobbyists, strippers, and then the third category is drag queens. So that's kind of one we're going into a little bit, because our wide fit collection, we actually tested and developed with Laganja and Dahlia Sin. So we were sending them different wide fit samples, as well as Adam Lynn, actually, seeing what they thought. I'm pretty sure we sent you some, or did we ask for your feet measurements, maybe? I can't remember. It was a while ago.
But maybe this is a cue that I have to pester you for some wide fit ones.
Yeah, exactly. So we did a little bit there with drag queens. Obviously it's not all drag queens, some women just have wide feet, but of course drag queens tend to have a wider foot, and Hella is I would consider a more narrow fit. So we worked a little bit with drag queens there, and I would like to expand more into the drag queen market, but we are still just so focused on growing in the pole dance hobbyist and in the stripper world.
And actually, like, in terms of So you mentioned Laganja. Obviously, Laganja Strange is one of the, like, a world famous drag queen.
Yeah.
And you've worked with lots of celebrities. So in terms of, and this was one of the things on my list for us to talk about, was like influencer marketing and celebrity, working with celebrities. Like, what's your stance on the whole influencer marketing situation? Like, would you say that that does better for you than any other sort of marketing technique, or is it just
no? I believe it's dying a little bit. I think the value of influencer marketing is getting the good content from them. I don't think sales are being brought across, but I do think that if we have a really great video that we can also post, then it helps people go, that looks really good. So that's kind of where we're at with that. Mm-hmm. And even with, like, so recently, so CXAX had an order from a very unique name, Kat Von D. And I'm like, there can't be many of them. There just can't be. So we ended up actually, oh no, we didn't DM. She tagged us in her story and I was blown away by it. And then there was a music video coming up and she was like, we're thinking of having some items for it. And I'm like, let me know, we'll send them. And she's like, no, I'll pay. And I really appreciated that because obviously she is the kind of person that has money. So how amazing that, right, she still supported our business. Now, when she wore the items and tagged, we did not have a follower spike. We did not have a sales spike. And she has millions of followers. But what I do think it brought us is a bit of street cred. You can reshare. Whether you like someone or you hate someone, when a big celebrity posts in a small brand, it's exciting for the brand.
Of course.
So, like, the same with, obviously, Kylie Jenner. Whether you love her or hate her, when she posts, it's exciting for the brand. But be under no illusion, no sales spike. No follower increase that we could notice particularly.
Right.
So I think we there's less power placed on people posting, but I do think when we repost that stuff and when we use that content, that can be really powerful. So we still do use and work with like pole dancers and such to get great content from them and to just make sure we're still front of mind for their followers and for people. Yeah.
With
it's
Kylie similar. Jenner,
it's
though.
Long term.
Kylie didn't tag you though, right? So Kylie, no. So Kylie got the heels. She wore, like, I mean, your heels are on the front of her makeup packaging, right? It's like,
yeah.
So that's, I mean, like you said, total street cred. And like the, and I assume because you've sent her these heels, do you get the privilege of using all this content for free? You're allowed to use it, or?
I mean, there was never that conversation. We just used it. And I don't think anything's that formal to be like, you're not allowed to use these pictures. Because as far as I know, if you post something on your story, that's public domain. So if Kylie posts the makeup in her story, I'm going to screenshot that and I'm going to post it on ours. It was never very formal and it's never has been very formal. Like, we didn't ask, well, if she wears it, she's got to post with a tag because she might not and she might not wear it or whatever.
Right.
You just kind of send it, hope for the best. And we never even heard anything after that. We didn't hear that she'd worn it. We didn't hear what was happening. That was it. That was the end of it. So,
that she probably didn't even realize. She'd probably just given these shoes, said, put these on. So
100%.
She probably doesn't even get to know anything.
A row of options, a row of shoes, a row of options that a stylist has popped into the mix. So, yeah, there was
Absolutely.
Never any expectation there. And to be honest, there can't be an expectation if, like, they're not, if you're not paying them or, I don't know. I just think it's not that deep, you know? It's just kind of like a win-win.
When you're working with, let's say, pole influencers, mm-hmm. Because we were talking about, like you just mentioned, about getting content off of them actually is more useful. Because I'd learned that recently that with influencers, because I mean, as someone who, I don't really consider myself like an influencer, I don't ever really do that sort of work where I'm like working with brands, whatever like that, because I'm not, there's no real brands that are doing men's clothing.
Yes,
and if correct. They are, they're very smaller brands. But I'd heard that for women within the industry, they have lots of different types of it, like marketing they can do with companies, where it's sort of like they create the creation of just the content, so they don't even post on their socials. Mm-hmm. They just get the products, they make some content for you and they send it to you and you pay them for that. And then you've got another one where you create the content, you also post and tag with the content, so it's like a little bit extra where you're posting on your socials. So you find, for you personally, that it's actually better to just have the content rather than them tagging you?
No, it's a bit of both. It depends on the person. It depends on their following and engagement. I think it's really good to have, like I said earlier, front of mind. So if people are wearing the stuff, they'll go, oh, that actually does look really good. Like, some of our items have definitely needed those well, various content and people wearing the stuff, like our Make Moves pants were like a long pant and they didn't go off straight away, but then a few people wore them and then people are like, these actually look really good. So I think, yeah, it depends on the product. It depends on the thing. And there's a variety of things you can do. You can actually pay people for content, or you can simply gift. Like, we work with a lot of people on more of a casual basis where we're like, do you want this gifted? And then hopefully they post. And if they don't, we probably won't gift them stuff again. But it's not like a formal paid relationship like we have with some people. It's more of a gifting thing. And with Hella, we never pay. We never pay. We have a good relationship with certain people that whenever they need shoes, we give them the shoes. And otherwise,
right, they'd be paying. Is that with me? Is that when you send me shoes?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And I don't think, I just think influencer marketing is not what it was when like Gymshark got that magic moment and they blew up. And it was largely led by influencer marketing. This time, I think it's far more of an interpersonal thing where you get some good content. Maybe you'll be front of mind for people. Certainly, if you're a new brand, I think it's amazing to get on some people with bigger followings because the visibility will be big. But for us, we work with people with similar followings to us. So it's more of a work together thing, especially when we do collab posts, because they benefit from our engagement and likes and vice versa. Right. So then next time they post, even if it's nothing to do with us, more people will see their post because it's helped. So it's very much a win-win, and it helps both accounts grow. Yeah. Whereas absolutely, if I'm Fashion Nova, obviously that's different. If I'm Fashion Nova and I'm working with someone with 50K followers, that's a bit different. But for us, we work with quite similar followings, and there's a lot of benefits for both parties.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned about following and engagement. I actually wrote that down as you were saying it, because that's such a good point. How do you, so when someone, you see someone pop up, and you see, and let's say they've got 200,000 followers, and you're like, oh, you know, because we know obviously that the following, the number doesn't always necessarily mean anything. Their engagement might be like in the pan. How are you testing for that? Do you ask them for their insight stats, or you just...
No, honestly, I've actually... We work with so few that it's not hard to sort of manage. So with regards to, I don't think I've ever asked for their like insights or their stats. I honestly just look at their content and I think, is it on brand for us? Do I like this person? Are they talented? Do I like what they're doing? Does it fit with us? And we go from there. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Oh, that's pretty good. So you don't ever like, because one thing I have noticed is that we're seeing a lot more of a rising trend on people who have maybe bought their followers, and it's quite obvious because maybe their engagement is a lot lower. How do you, is there any telltale signs that you would recommend for brands to sort of keep an eye out for, to know whether someone has good engagement? Are you looking at the comments or the likes or the
no,
views?
And I think it's really hard to say, because I think you just got to look at their content and think, do we like what this person is doing? Do we think they're going places or are places already because they're talented and their sort of vibe fits in with us? Because with the shadow ban, with generally Instagram against businesses, I don't know if it depends how your details and settings are set, but for example, with some of our CXX posts, and we have 130,000 on there, and with some of our CXX posts, we're lucky to get one or two comments, but we've not bought any followers. So it's very hard
not
to
think
tell
that's
comment.
More, I think though that, so I think it's different for brands, because what do they comment? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what do they actually say on it? Like, if you're posting
on Hellas, they comment a lot.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, all the time. And CXX, we're getting back there. We definitely had a dip in engagement, and we think we pinpointed the few reasons why, and we're getting back up there again.
Do you think it's because with CXX, it's more bodies, whereas with Hella, you can just post the feet and the shoes? And I only say that because obviously in terms of shadow banning, they're definitely being hot on body content, like head, like from the neck down. Whereas obviously with Hella, are you posting more just the feet? Is that like, can you get away with that sort of content more, or have you noticed a difference?
I'm not sure, because ads, we often get shoes flagged as adult content, even though it's a picture of a shoe. So
wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And there is actually a rule that we have done, just because this was what was happening with me for ads, that now we do on the gram. But if you go through CXAX Brands Instagram, you will see that there are not many, and I say this word with a smirk on my face, back shots, because it seems to be that if there is booty in there at all, it's getting flagged. So we very rarely post the back of a garment on a person for that reason. Yeah. It's butts. Right. Tits you can get away with, but butts seem to be a hot area to avoid.
That's just so weird, isn't it? And in terms of your actual, so for anyone who's listening to this and doesn't know what I'm about to say, I'm going to explain it first. So on Instagram, you can go to the, I think it's like help and then account status in your settings on your Instagram. And it will tell you if you've got all green ticks or whether you've got like warning signs or whatever. And this is basically how you'll be able to tell whether your content is being restricted from being shown to new people. Are your pages all green or have they got any flags next to them?
Our Instagram pages are green, but I still think there's some sus stuff there because we just don't know what's going on with Instagram, right? So our Instagrams are, our TikToks are not. Our TikToks are completely shadow banned. We used to get so many views and we shot up and then one of our videos got flagged. And since then it's been like 100 views or something silly. Yeah.
Damn.
And I actually spoke to one of my, I don't know. On Hella, let's go on. While I'm trying to find it, a good friend of mine is a lawyer at TikTok. He works there, used to work with me years ago. And he seemed to think that the only way to kind of get over it is to literally start a new account, which I think is just mad. That's can't even crazy. Find me on TikTok. I think Hella has like, sorry, I don't know how to use it properly because I'm an absolute invalid. Oh, here we go. Hella has 55,000 and I think CXAX has like 90,000 or something like that.
That's pretty good. Like considering like,
yeah, it's
and
not
would you
shame.
Say that TikTok, would you say TikTok is like your secondary? It's like not your main sort of
Yeah, TikTok's focus. Our secondary because we just don't get views on it anymore. It sounds like we've got a good following, but that happened very quickly and then it's just stopped. So that's maybe our second. We still do post on TikTok consistently, but we are going a lot more this year into Pinterest, which is exciting.
Oh, that's cool. So so Pinterest, I mean, Pinterest, isn't that what people use for like, you know, like when you're looking for aesthetics for like a new room that you're trying
interior
to build?
Design. Like, babe, this is what I thought, but the young kids on the block are telling me. No, a lot of people do use Pinterest, and we actually noticed, because we put a few collections up, just literally uploaded our collection databases, and a lot of them get pinned, and we have a lot of people follow in, and they use our imagery as part of their vibe and stuff, and obviously all of the pictures, we put our website next to it, or you can go on the thing, so if they did want to buy it, it's there. So we're going to work a bit more on Pinterest this year. I'm definitely too early days to really comment any further on Pinterest, but I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, and actually, that kind of leads into my next thing I wanted to talk to you about, because one thing that, oh my God, look at this lighting in this room. I've not planned this very well at all. That's a bit better. One thing that I've noticed with your socials is your super amazing aesthetics that you've built over time, and you're very, very good at like building. And the one thing I always think of is like whenever I see an ad, I just think, oh, that's like so clever. Like it looks so aesthetically pleasing. Like I think it was one of the CXIX ads, and I think it was like a girl, she's wearing like a balaclava. And then she's got a super sexy outfit on. She's got the Hellas on. And I remember thinking, like, that just looks like it gives such bad bitch vibes. Like, where did you build that aesthetic from? What was it built off of? Was it inspired by, like, a rapper or something? Or where did it come from?
So for both the brands, I have mood boards for them because they are quite distinct. So we do try and sort of keep them a bit separate. Even the colour palette, like CXAX tends to be a bit more muted and a bit more, I'd like to describe it as like CXAX is more like FKA Twigs or Rihanna in her like chic moment. And then Hella is more like Cardi B and Rihanna in her like bad bitch moment kind of thing.
Yes. Yes.
So where do I get them from? I think it's happened quite naturally, to be honest. And I think a lot of that comes through the imagery that we use. And the imagery that we use, I direct and I'm on pretty much every shoot. There's been a few exceptions, but pretty much every shoot, there's a lot of thought that goes in behind it. And the models we use are incredibly important too. And one of the, I suppose, big things for me or that I've been able to benefit from is that a lot of our models have either been friends of mine, pole dancers or strippers that I know personally, that, you know what, the first shoot might not be like hot shit. So you tend to get a couple of like people that have done a few shoots with you before and maybe one newbie, because it takes people a hot minute to warm up. But then they are the most amazing models. And so you do look different to the other brands that you see that are using models from, of course, like agencies that have a certain more polished look. And I think by me using actually people that are my good friends or that I hang around with or that I've seen on stage or that I've gone, oh, who's that? We need her. Like, that's really brought that out and that uniqueness out. And it does make it more a part of us and a part of the brand. It seems more legit for us. So I think that's been really helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is super impressive and you keep the consistency so well. Now, when I was looking before we did this, I was looking at your socials and stuff, and you post obviously pretty regularly.
Yeah.
You've obviously got your Instagram pages for Hella, you've got Hoa, you've got CXIX. Am I missing any? No, they're the main three, right?
Hella, Hoa, CXIX. Yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously that's just the Instagram. I assume you've then got Facebook pages for all of them. You've probably got TikToks for all of them.
Yeah.
Do you have someone who works for you full time on social media?
Yes. Yeah.
And it's just one person?
Yeah, Kai. She's amazing. I'll tell you a little bit about Kai or Michaela. So Kai, I saw a few years ago. This is actually how some of my team have like kind of come to be. They've started very like minimally and grown with me, which is another reason why I think everything's remained consistent. Not going to like an agency and getting them to do your post, because they're not in it. They don't get it. They don't breathe and love the brand. They weren't already fans of it. It's disconnected. And I think people can see that disconnect. Kai is an absolute babe. So I saw a picture of her wearing one of our CXAX sets, and it was kind of like kind of anime vibe. She'd like cut out some pictures of the set on the wall behind her, which I actually didn't know until after the fact that that was what the kind of image on the wall behind her was. And she just looked amazing. And I was like, I reached out to her. She wasn't like, she was a baby polar, you know, like doing some spins and things like that at home. But she was just so hot and she looked so good. But she had that perfect combination of like cute and hot. Very lucky. And I reached out to her and I was like, would you like to make a few bit of content for us? Like, I loved that picture you took. That was amazing. Here's the other styles from that collection. Can we send you some if you want to take more pictures like that? Happy days. So she did, and she was great. And she was just so easy to work with and so like excited, enthusiastic by it, and clearly already a fan of the brand because she'd done this off her own back. But then we brought her on to make stories for one of the brands. Then I brought her on to make stories and post stories for both of the brands. Then I brought her on to do all of the DMs, which she no longer does. That was handed over. Because then she started doing the grid, and the grid was the last thing that I'd sort of handed over properly, because I was very anal and precious about my grid, which is less important now. Reels and video is what's important, but back then grid was super important. It still is a bit, but not as much really. And I got her to do the grid, and she just had it. She just knew, because she'd lived and breathed the brands for so long. She'd seen what I did. And so for a while she would send the weekly stuff over for approval, and I'd be like, no, 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 yes, yes, yes. And then after a bit, it was like, you just don't even need to really approve stuff. And then she got it. And then I wanted her because she had that natural talent for aesthetics and for the brand and how things look good. So then I got her to start briefing our graphic designer. Our graphic designer then left after years of being with us. She was in America, based in America, and it was just a few projects a week, but then she got a full-time role with a big company, so fair enough, and she was great, and we were sad to see her leave. So she was briefing her. Then we tried a few other graphic designers. She was briefing them. It wasn't going down as well. And then she was like, I kind of learned a bit of Photoshop myself years ago, and I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, do you want to give it a go? She's like, yes, I do. I was like, brilliant. So now she also does all of our email marketing and all of the website imagery on all of the sites across everything.
Wow.
So she's great, but it's been a growth thing, and it was very natural. Yeah. It wasn't someone coming in and having to understand all the brands straight away. And it wasn't someone who is separate to the business. So she's actually based in Canada. We flew her over for the
I was just about to say, is she,
yeah.
I thought maybe she was based in Australia as well, but she's not, she's in Canada.
No, she's Canadian, and she's the one that was in the Dollhouse shoot with us. And then she came over last Black Friday, and she was the main face, because she's also a cracker model, because obviously she's so talented, the main face of our last Black Friday campaign for Hella that was in the warehouse with the balaclava and the thing. So, you know, she's shooting the campaign, and then she's actually getting the imagery and putting putting it on the website, putting it on the mailers, doing all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, we do have a full-time person now that pretty much dominates. And that's why we took DMs off her, because obviously she didn't have time to be doing DMs anymore because she was doing all these other things. So that's been really great. And I do think it's really important, whoever, if you can't do your socials, which I mean, I could, but I didn't have the time by the end. But if you can't do the socials, get people who are just as good as you to do them. And to be honest, I feel like now she's better. She's better than what I could do, 100%. Right. It's been amazing.
It's like so time consuming. I don't think people even realize that I've got an assistant who does a lot of the Pololz posts, right? And yeah. So she does a lot of the Pololz posts and also the Pole Destroyer posts for my online platform. So she mainly deals with those and I just deal with mine. But even just my own, like one post, I mean, if I'm just posting like a choreo, maybe it doesn't need so much editing. That one's quite easy. But if I'm creating an actual piece of content where I need to put captions over it, I need to do a voiceover over it, this can take me sometimes an hour or 2 hours, like just for that one day's post. It takes so much time. So that's why I was like, how the hell are you doing all of this? Because you must have someone.
Yeah, no, Kai's full-time was now, and I feel like it's really condensed, but it has taken a long time to get to that. Over the years, I tried to give little bits over to different people. Didn't quite work out. I'd bring it back onto my plate because it's just something I wasn't willing to compromise on. And then we had the designer who was doing the website and the emails for years. And then when she left, we had like a wobbly time. And then now Kai, originally just posting in a little picture as a baby polar, and she's like heading up the whole of our design for all of the brands. It's great.
And actually, that's, again, just another thing. It was one of the things I wrote down as you said that. So you said that she was just a baby polar that posted in her heels and you just loved her aesthetic. So what would your advice be to people who maybe are listening to this now? They're wanting to become, you know, because let's be honest, I know people won't admit this, but I feel like it's very clearly obvious. There are a lot of people out there who would love to become pole influencers, would love to get their followings up, and would love to work with brands like CXIX, like Hoa, like Hella. How would you tell them, if you were saying to someone, you just met them, they just started and they really wanted to do that, what would you tell them to do?
Well, if they want to be a pole influencer, get good at pole.
Right.
Yeah, worry but less about maybe the
But editing. Do you think that? Because you just told me that Michaela, is it Michaela?
Kai, yeah.
Kai, sorry. That the Kai was a baby polar and she wasn't.
He is a baby polar. But she took a picture, not on the pole or anything. It was just a photo. It was good content. And she's not evolved to become like a pole celebrity or an influencer. She's evolved to head up the design because she's a great graphic designer. She's got a good eye for aesthetic. So it's slightly different. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, obviously you want to make things look nice and pretty and you want, you know, good lighting or bad lighting, dark lighting, sometimes very cool. Yeah, there's a variety of things, but I do think that product is important. Like on my socials, my brand, yes, the aesthetic's good, but you've got to have some product that's actually pretty good too. Otherwise, it's just vanity. You'll have a load of followers, but are you going to make any sales? No. Our top performing posts, for example, on Hella, are new shoes the first time we sneak peek them because it's new and it's exciting. So yes, the aesthetic makes sure that the brand all pulls through, but you've got to have a good product. You've got to have a good product. And you've got to make that product look good too. So in the same vein, I guess, about pole dancers, yeah, you can edit something well, you can have a really nicely lit studio, but the majority of people that have a big following is because they've put a lot of work into the craft of pole dancing to get good at that. I think
so. And I guess as well, let's turn that around now, because obviously we're talking really to you today as a business owner, as like a brand. If this was a brand, maybe not even to do a poll, like this was a brand, like what would you say is one of the most important things with their socials? Like, would you say aesthetics and regular posting is probably the most important, or is there anything else you'd throw in there for people who are trying to start a brand?
No, I think things have changed a lot. Now, I think the most important thing is video content, reels.
Right.
Both short form and long form, and a lot of more raw. So in the past, I think Instagram used to be a bit more like a Pinterest board. It was an aesthetic and I would shop on it. I would go on different brands and I'd find new brands via various different mediums. And then I would just scroll through to see what I like to buy. Now I'm scrolling and I'm just looking at some girl telling me a story about something and then I go next and then I'm carrying on listening to her true crime part two or whatever it might be. It's turned into not a shopping site, but an entertainment medium. I don't know if that's for the good or the bad. It probably depends on the person or what you're trying to achieve with it. But now I think video content's way more important. And so, for example, for a brand like myself, showing behind the curtain a lot more, looking at just things like, well, we mentioned earlier, but like the ASMR, the pack your own orders, the come for a tour of our new office, like let's do a quick fire Q&A with someone or other. We've only just started really doing this and we're going to be doing a lot more in the coming months. So who knows if it'd be successful. But when I'm scrolling, I'm randomly coming across brands that are doing that, not just a pretty picture of someone wearing something nice. Right. So I think it's very much changing. I think for pole dancers even, well, I don't know if this is happening on pole dancers, but certainly for strippers on Strip Talk, it's not like, here's me dancing. It's like, here's how much money I made. Here's what I put in my bag at the beginning of the thing.
Wait, hold on. Strip Talk? What is that?
Strip Talk. Yeah, it's the stripper talk. It's TikTok. It's a hashtag for strippers. No, it's TikTok. It's normal.
Oh my
TikTok.
God, I thought they'd made their own like TikTok called Strip no. Talk. I was like, oh my God, I don't have this on my phone. This sounds amazing.
But yeah, it's a lot more raw and a lot more BTS, like behind the scenes. And I think that that content is what's popping off at the moment. So as always with social media, it's ever changing and we've got to change with it. So we've got to jump on that. But we've got to make sure that when we jump on that, it is also true to us. It's not, hopefully not cheesy, or it's hopefully not this, that and the other, which cheesy for some brands is great. For us, a bit of cheesy, a bit of funny, a bit of humor. But I still want to make sure that it's like, right for the brand whilst kind of drawing in this more raw peek behind the curtain look.
Well, talking about being cheesy, like, because I mean I find it cheesy, but everyone does, and I want to ask about it, the ASMR videos. I was showing my friend this the other day. I said to her, I was like, I don't really get this, I don't understand what it is. So you just tap your nails on stuff and like make noises, but what does that do? Is it people enjoy the sound of it?
It's very mesmerizing and it's very therapeutic. So let me tell you a story. I went down a rabbit hole of this girl. I wish I could remember now so I could shout out her gram. But basically she does moisturizers, but they're in like all of these like different colors and stuff. And it's her squidging them into the bottle from like the machine she uses. So it's like, and it was so satisfying to watch fill up. And then she like screws on the cap, puts it to one side. I just started scrolling. I went down this mind hole. I'm looking at all the different scents, all the different flavors or colors that she's doing. And by the end, I'm not kidding you, like I'd followed her and I was also so close to spending $80 on this like mad moisturizer bottle that looked so beautiful, like this bottle as well. The packaging was beautiful, everything was beautiful. I nearly bought really expensive moisturizer. I don't use moisturizer. I pole dance. Well, actually, I don't really anymore, but I don't have time to moisturize. But I don't use moisturizer. And if I do, it's just like the one I've got in my bottom cupboard. I've got plenty of moisturizer should I need to use it. I nearly bought that moisturizer because it was so satisfying. And I think the vision or the imagination of hearing all the sounds makes you want to have it in your hands. I don't know what it was, but I wanted it. I wanted it so bad. I think it's satisfying for people to watch. I think it's interesting. And I think it really puts the customer in the sense of they could be there with that package right now, unboxing it kind of thing. So we have done a bit of ASMR recently and I'm enjoying it.
What's the engagement like on it? What's the engagement like on it?
It's been pretty good.
Is it good?
Yeah, we're going to keep going.
I can imagine that people like, probably this, like you said, it's different content, I guess. I mean, it made me notice it, I have to say, because I was like, I don't get it. What's going on? But I mean, I've never really understood the ASMR thing anyway. You know, when people do like they're talking to the microphone, they're like, hi. I'm like, oh yeah, they're doing the nails on it. You know, I've seen it on TikTok and stuff. And I thought, oh, what is this? I just thought it was like a funny thing. And then I realized that actually people are using it to get that. It sends them to sleep. Some people sleep with it. Very clever.
It's very nice to listen to. So there's that has popped off. And then also outrage always works. Now, let me tell you what outrage I mean. Not the outrage that stresses me out, but the outrage such as, what shoe goes with what star sign? If your poor brand new content creator that's just started a few months ago happens to miss out one star sign, oh, anarchy. Where's Libra? and they go off, and so you've got 20 comments on it, and then it's great because then you just do the next video and you've included Libra, and everyone's like, finally Libra, but like, pure accident, calm down. But yeah, people, or they'll get angry and they're like, that is totally not a Leo shoe. A Leo shoe would totally be the hell girl or something, whatever it might be.
Right, of course.
Outrage also works, but that was a complete accident. But that post popped off. Also, star signs just pop off.
They do. And do you know what's so funny? Because we did the pole dancer star signs for pole lovers as merch, right? Oh my God, you won't believe how many people were like, oh, you totally missed an opportunity. Like this one should have been this move. It's like when we did the princesses, they were like, oh, why haven't you got Princess Jasmine doing a Jasmine? I'm like, I don't fucking know. The art, we bought the art off an artist. It was her choice, not ours. They're like, oh, total missed opportunity. She should have been doing this.
But then if you bought it out, right, that person complaining wouldn't have bought it anyway. So
no, of course not. But you know, but actually, what you were saying is that in turn, their outrage got us a lot of engagement, and it actually did turn into a lot of sales. Now, this actually kind of leads into Tuesday topic a bit. I mean, I don't do it anymore because we just kind of run out of good topics, so I stopped. And it just caused me way more hassle than it was really worth. But yeah, with Tuesday topic, the reason it was good is because it incited conversation, which then made our engagement go up. And it did work. It did used to drive a lot of people to our website. But it just wasn't worth the drama that came with it, unfortunately. But hey, everyone, sorry to interrupt your episode. I just wanted to quickly hop in and tell you about one of our sponsors for this episode. This episode is sponsored by Monkey Hands. A big thank you to Monkey Hands for sponsoring. And I want to tell you a little bit about them. A Monkey Hands is actually a fairly new grip to the industry, but I'm seeing a hell of a lot more of them. They are really smashing it with the pole grips at the moment. And they've got lots of different grips. And I actually was just recently at a pole camp, and I'm going to tell you a quick little story. I had a student who was trying to learn handspring, suffered with a bit of a slippy hand. She got quite sweaty hands. And you know how that can be so annoying to grip the pole when your hands are sweating, they don't have any stickiness to them. And she put on their gluey grip, which is basically like super glue for pole dancers. And she got her first handspring. It was incredible. I was like blown away by how sticky this grip was. But they also have something for everyone. They have a more dry grip. They have a grip with a little bit of tack to it. And then they have their gluey grip as well. So make sure you go and check out Monkey Hands. But do you ever do any content with the intention of getting comments, and how do you do that? Is it through your captions? Is it through, like, do you ask questions in the captions? What do you find is the best way to get those comments?
Yeah, I think conversational posts are really crucial, and we've been trying to recently make ours a bit more chatty. In the past, it was very like cool. It was like, here is the shoe, name dash collection dropping here, bam bam bam. But now we chat a lot more with it, and we try and I guess spark conversation when the moments are right. For example, April Fool's, I don't know if you saw April Fool's post, but they
that was so clever. But you know what's funny, right? I meant to ask you about this. I'm so glad you mentioned that. When you did it, the amount of people that commented saying, I would actually buy this shoe if you made it like with fake spiders in or whatever. They're like, oh, do you ever look at stuff and think, it says something here with this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes, but honestly, people always talk about the one you didn't do, and then you'll bring out the one you did. Like, oh my God, I can't believe you're not doing this in X color. And then you do X color and it is the poorest seller. So, so I don't know. But, you know, the April Fools, both of them, they had to look a bit like they could be true. So it had to kind of be a bit cool in order for it to come to fruition, you know? Like the same with the Bianca Tape XX top, like the way we edited that as well, like it looked cool. So I can see why some people are like, haha, no, but seriously, can you bring that out? And the same with the Terranium and the Aquarium shoes. Now, I thought they were just funny because it was like critters not included, like get your stick insects and put them in. But obviously we had to make them look like it could be a real thing, and it had to be a silly enough idea for it to be funny, but a good enough idea for it to be possible in order for that to actually spark conversation. Because if it's that out there, people are going to be like, yeah, good one. And if it's that good, then people would be like, what do you mean, April Fool's? Like, what? Release it. Yeah. So it had to kind of be that midpoint. And obviously, like, it would be cool to do some of those things. I think the funniest one, though, was a girl actually that shared it and messaged me and was like, I can't believe you and Yeezy are collabing. And I was like, we're not collabing. Like, that's obviously a joke. And that's then obviously so some people are like, you've sold us out, like, you know, collabing with Yeezy. I'm like, how are people thinking that?
This is real.
Yeezy. Although he is quite erratic, so maybe it's possible. But yeah, it sparked a lot of conversation. It was our top performing post for the week. Multi-posts tend to work too, but that sort of chattiness and also showing our customers and our followers and the people that like the brand, like, here's the people behind it. This is what we think is a bit of a joke. And like, we'll kind of have a laugh about it together. And I love that because, yeah, you just have that moment of, okay, we're not selling shit right now. This is just a moment for us to kind of like have a little giggle together and see if we can have you on. So when it comes to your question of conversational posts, I think there's a time and you've got to make that balance. You can't just be conversational. You'll never sell anything. But even with posts, say, I think we need to be a bit more creative, myself and other brands, generally everyone. But I think it needs to be more than just a multi-post of which one do you like? We do a bit of this, like this or that. Which color do you like the most? I think if we can level that up a bit and be a bit more conversational to be, rather than which pitch do you like, A, B or C, just kind of taking it to that next level, it'd be really good because it would get people chatting and engaging on Instagram again. And I think that is actually a nice part of Instagram too. It's not zombified. It's not just scroll, scroll, scroll. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a bit more real and a bit more... yeah, like you're engaging in a nice way. Absolutely. Yeah.
I do find like I make much more of a, I think as someone who is like a, I guess, a creator of content on socials, I do always try to comment as much as I can on people's stuff because I realize that actually like engagement is bad enough as it is. Like,
yeah,
I try to help people out where I can by giving them a little comment, even if it's just some emojis. But it is difficult because I do find myself doing that where I'm just scrolling. I'm just like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, do you find yourself doing that a lot or are you pretty good at managing your time on socials?
I go through my phases. I think sometimes I'm pretty good because I'm too busy, but then sometimes I should just be going to sleep. Like, stop. Right. Going,
it's like, girl, just go to sleep.
Spending 30 minutes looking at a girl pump moisturizer in different colors into a tub.
Do you ever get those things, you know, on TikTok where like you've been on TikTok for a certain amount of time and it'll be like, do you need to take a break? And they've got these little videos where you just got, and like sometimes I'll get to those and I'll be like, oh fuck, okay, I've been on this way too long.
Yeah, wishful thinking. I put the little timer on my Instagram, so it's like, you've been on it for 20 minutes today, and it happens like really soon in the day, and I'm just like, ignore. 20 minutes wishful. But I am actually going to make more of a concerted effort because I have a few times this year so far either just deleted the Instagram app, not deactivated or anything, but just deleted the app off my phone for a few days, or just made a conscious effort to not have my phone around. Like, I'll leave it downstairs, I'll read for 10 minutes, I'll do something with my phone around. The few times I've done this year so far, I have seen a proper increase in my like focus, self-awareness, happiness, just general like contentness, I guess. So that's been good. And then when you do go on Instagram, you are a bit more like engaged. Like, I feel like I'm more like commenting on my friend's thing or messaging them and being like, oh, this is cute, you did this. It's a lot more personal. You're not just down a zombie wormhole of scrolling, basically. So I think, yeah, limiting it and having more meaningful things on Instagram is good. And I do think there is a lot of things on socials that are good. Like, you do find new people that you're inspired by, or you do find new brands that you're excited by, like that kind of thing.
Talking about things you're excited by, I'm going to transition this to something that I wanted to make sure we definitely talk about, but I was worried I was going to forget about it. Events, Pollmaster's Playhouse. So for anyone who has listened to my podcast before, I've had Miles on here before, aka Young Pollmaster. Shout out to Miles, we love him. And he is just fucking killing at the moment. He just taught, is it Kalani?
Yeah.
He's just started teaching her pole dancing. She's like a world famous singer, like she's got millions of followers. So you know that was kind of a really big deal. A lot of people were posting about it. And I wanted to talk to you about sponsoring events because I know you sponsor Pollmaster's Playhouse. I'm intrigued to know, like, as a brand, what do you get much benefit from that, or is it just literally to support the community?
Oh, both, 100%. I think so. Firstly, Miles and I have been talking friends, working together for many, many years. So I thought it was really important to be able to meet him in the flesh because voice notes only take you so far. So after COVID, that was really nice because when me and a few people from the team, we went to LA and he took us out for the full day, gave us a tour of obviously what is his home. So you get a proper tour. We had one too many tequila shots. We had a few fun things happen. We just had a great time and we got to see all of LA, which is actually really hard to get around if you don't have someone driving. So that was really, really great. And then the Playhouse was incredible. It just really was. I can't put into words how great it was, I think, for both parties. So anyone performing that night wore Hellas, which we obviously gave to them. So we were like, what would you like? And then we turned up. So he has a theme every. So for those guys of you who don't know, the Playhouse is every couple of weeks, I believe, every 2 weeks, maybe. Sorry if I'm wrong. Every 2 weeks in West Hollywood. And they just do this mad show. It's incredible. It's like nothing you've ever seen. It's really, really amazing. They prioritize BIPOC and LGBTQIA dancers. And we got there and we'd obviously like given the Hellas to all the dancers and the theme of that night was Hella Heels. So that was the theme for that because we were there. There was already a heap of like really fun dramas that had happened before, which was just very exciting. Loads of great things are happening. And then I went before, I interviewed all of the dancers and just asked them like little questions about their history or what they love about blah, blah, blah. So that was really great content for us. So we benefited. We also tagged those dancers, a lot of whom didn't really have big followings. They are also excited to be able to like share their story a little bit. I think it brought visibility to Paul Masters Playhouse. It also Paul Masters Playhouse video is still to date one of our top performing videos of all time. So it brought a lot of views to us and a lot of new customers to us. We also got to meet and get on a personal level with all of those dancers that were there. So like we're watching the show, we're having a spliff, which is legal there inside in LA, and just having a great time with a few of the dancers who to this day, now back Hella, when they see the other brands rip us off, they're infuriated by it. And they're posting on their stories like, can you believe the centimeter for centimeter carbon copy? Even they've copied the little tab on the back, even they've done this, even they've done that. I don't think that would happen if they didn't realize that it is real, actual people behind our brand and that we've like bonded with them, obviously, and connected with them and got to know them and threw a heap of money and had a great night with them. So, not just great to meet, obviously, Miles and support his event and help support him as he's helped support us. But for those dancers, I feel like we have real, true Hell Girls, Hell Boys, Hella lovers there now. They appreciate that we were there part of the community and we appreciate that they're now spotting some of the wrongs that are happening and going, what the hell? So it was, but that wasn't even the reason for it. We just wanted to obviously do a cool party. That would be fun. And
And
Miles
like,
also like was just so professional. Like he puts on these mad parties, but he is a real one. Like he is so professional. That shit is ran so well. So it was just really, yeah, we wanted to party. We wanted to see what it was like to work with him too. And it was incredible. And so now we're going to do it every year.
it's really funny. I've known Miles for like a long time through socials. I met him once when we were in LA. I remember feeling so bad as well because I was so tired at the time and he'd like taken me out. I was at this, he was performing at this event, and I was like, Miles, I have to go home. I'm so tired. I think I might have been jet lagged or something. I felt so bad because I couldn't like properly immerse myself in it. But and I just remember just like I've known him for a long time, and he's I think if you were to look at his social media, you would think like that's what you were saying, like that whole party boy vibe. But actually such like a nice guy. He's just so lovely. And honestly, the fact that he's getting all this really good stuff coming to him. I mean, I'm a big believer of like manifesting and all that sort of stuff. And he's manifested this for sure. Like he's
But he's also just
always,
incredibly intelligent and hardworking. Like
he
he
is.
that boy works. He does.
Oh my God, he doesn't stop.
I
Yeah, I
feel
mean,
like
he
that's
reminds me a
funny.
lot of me when it comes to his work ethic. He's literally such a hard worker. He doesn't stop. And I really admire that. And it is really cool because obviously you don't realize it by looking at his social media, but you do if you watch his stories and if you speak to him or you've ever met him. I really get like a hard working vibe from him. So I'm really glad to see you guys sponsoring an event with him. So when you do sponsoring events like that is obviously really cool. You've got content from it and stuff. What about pole competitions? Because I've noticed that brands aren't sponsoring competitions as much anymore. Do you think there's a reason for that?
Look, I've talked at length with multiple comp organisers about this. And Chili Rocks and I, actually, she's got her Poll Icon coming up. Shout out to Poll Icon. We've been talking about what we can do a little bit differently, because it's just everything is so readily available now online for you to buy. Everything's so readily available that I don't think pop-up shops and shops are getting the same amount of benefit. Well, they're not. We're not, certainly not. Same amount of benefit from events. So it's very hard to put money into something when you're probably going to actually lose money based on paying your staff, going there, having the whole time there, all that kind of stuff. So that's hard. But I also think it's a really hard time. So this is why it's extra difficult for events and events organizers now, whether the market's just more saturated. But I also think that this is, if we look at this on a mass market level, not just pole dance level, people aren't going out as much anymore. Things used to be like amazing fun, and you'd bring people who weren't pole dancers along, and you were going to those events, you were looking forward to them, and now it's really hard for events to sell out, from what I can see and what I've been hearing. Hard for events to sell out. It's really hard for people to get people to like part with their money and come to an event. And I think that's really sad. And I think that's the same for pubs and events generally. I think Taylor Swift obviously not got this issue. Taylor Swift's okay, but generally I think it's really hard for competitions now.
But like Poll Icon is an event, like that's one of the biggest ones in Australia, right? Yeah. And that one does sell out, am I right?
I think it sold out. I don't think it was easy to do so.
Right, okay. I mean, see, the difficulty in the UK, I mean, it's very different here. Like, the competition scene is dying a death here. The competitions just aren't, they're not selling out. And they're lucky if they can get enough people in the venues to really make it worthwhile to make any money from.
It's hard for everyone, because even people entering the competitions, I know there's been people saying like it's so crap that, you know, you have to pay to enter a competition, which it is, you have to pay all these things to get on stage, and then you don't even win any money. But I know a lot of organizers that are working their ass off to give a platform for people to be on stage, and then they walk away and they've put however many hours into pulling this together, and they might have like broke even. So it's people really need to think about everything here, because everyone might have their own struggles. It's not just, you know, that the people running these events aren't like running the events and then retiring in Barbados. It's a lot of work. Absolutely. It's a lot of effort. And then sometimes they're not even making anything.
Do you know what? I'll give numbers actually for people who are wondering as well. If you've ever wondered about what people make from competitions as well, like I used to run a competition in the UK, not a big style competition, but it was a decent size. And, you know, we used to have a decent amount of audience. It's called Air to the Chrome. And we did a good few years of it and then we sold it. And back when we did it, on our good years, we would leave with about maybe £2,000, maybe a bit more. I think one year we did £2,500-ish as profit, which is actually pretty good. Then it just started to drop down, and it was literally to the point where we just weren't going to make any money on it. Like, everything was going up. People weren't attending the event anymore, and it wasn't worth it. And, you know, when you work out the hourly rate on how much is being done, it's £2,000, even £1,000. You hear £1,000, you think that's a lot of money. But actually, if you consider that the amount of hours that have been put into it, it'd probably work out to less than minimum wage. Is it really worth it? I don't know that it is. It's like the competitions in the UK as well that are doing well and are selling out, they're small competitions. They don't have a large audience. So, of course, their tickets are selling out because they don't have the venues. So it's that
and
whole thing.
Social media as well. Like, speaking of social media, I think we do have to be more innovative and more flexible and come up with more ideas in order to help reinvigorate that and the cash flows coming in, because it's, I mean, we always sponsor with gift cards. Generally, we tend to do that as a just let's support the community kind of thing. I mean, make a sale for us, that person will get money off. That person's obviously entered a competition, so they're serious about polls. So it's okay. But to actually bring money to the table, and then a lot of comp organizers are like, we'll like post you, for example, on our social media. But it's like, we're not going to get any visibility from that. We're not going to realistically probably get any sales from that. So yeah, if you tell everyone who's coming, this brand's coming, that might be beneficial. But I think we have to be more like, innovative and come up with more ideas rather than just, can you come and sponsor? Can you pay this post once for you? Because it's just not beneficial.
To finish our discussion on the social media side of this, I want to get an idea of your top kind of do's and your top don'ts. So what are your, for someone who's looking to grow on social media, looking to have a page that looks as aesthetically pleasing as yours is, what would your recommendations be in terms of like the top do's? Like, what would you recommend them to do?
I do think don't worry too much about the aesthetically pleasingness of it, because that's, for Instagram at least, changing in its importance. Be unique, don't just rip off others, because if you rip off others, you won't stand out anyway. But I think commenting on other people's stuff that you like that is relevant, like if you want people to engage on yours, you've also got to be engaging. So be engaging with people around you. If people comment on yours, reply to the comments. That's, I mean, that's just etiquette really, but you know, helps. Yeah, I think, yeah, be engaging. I think that's a really important one. Post quite consistently. I'm not good for this on my personal, but on the businesses, obviously we post consistently, and don't worry too much about the algorithm now, I think, because in the past, if you posted a lot, the algorithm would like not be happy with you. But now if you want to look at what other people are doing, follow their lead, because they know what they're doing. So go on the brands that have heaps of following, that have huge marketing teams, that know exactly what they're doing. That's what we do. We go on the big brands, like Pretty Little Thing, posting like 6 times a day. I mean, we're not posting six times a day. But sometimes we'll post twice. Because why not? Because if someone else has made a great reel that we want to reshare and they've given us permission, we'll post it and we'll post one that we've made. So I think posting a lot obviously helps. Posting consistently obviously helps. I don't think having a certain consistent aesthetic on the grid is very important anymore. Focus on reels. It might be different for you, but generally I think focus on reels and stories.
I mean, I definitely think like the reels are getting like more engagement for sure. I mean, I post a picture, and if I post a question on it, it might get some comments and stuff. It might do well, but like it doesn't get me like loads and loads of comments. Yeah. It's not giving me lots of engagement. Whereas obviously the reels will get me like a certain amount of views and stuff. So I definitely think for people listening to this, it's definitely worth looking into reel content.
Definitely. And then I suppose the last do is quite, especially if you're a one woman band or a one man band or a one day band, then you, is that your dog howling in the background?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's howling. She's just literally out there. She's howling for no reason. I don't know why.
It can be super draining trying to post multiple times a day. So if you're really serious about growing, I would recommend bulk making content. And then we use a thing called later.com, later to schedule them. So then you don't need to be online at a certain time posting every day. You can just schedule it for the week and then spend your next Saturday morning filming, your next Saturday afternoon planning stuff out, and so that you've got your post a day, your reel a day, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, scheduling is good. The scheduling platform Later.
Does that affect your engagement though, the scheduling? The only reason I ask is because I remember a long time ago with the whole shadow banning thing, people were like, oh, don't use schedulers because Instagram noticed that you're using a scheduling app and then it will shadow ban your content. You've never had problems with that?
No, I mean, like we've had various shadow banning issues, I guess, but like on Hella, we have high engagement and we only use scheduling. So
right,
I think as long as your stuff is popping off. Yeah. So yeah, we use scheduling, and I think it's highly beneficial for if you are a small team or just one person to avoid burnout or feeling like you're constantly just on it. So if you need a break, take a break. And yeah, just focus on video content, in my opinion, would be the do's. The don'ts are don't worry about hashtags as much anymore, I guess. I don't think you should worry about hashtags. Don't worry about sharing loads of stuff. Like, I don't know, like if someone tags you or whatever, like, don't worry about, oh, is this going to look right in my grid? Is this going to look right in my aesthetic? Don't worry, because Instagram has just become this, like, I don't know, entertainment pumping thing. So I don't think you need to be too precious about if something's not perfect, not posting it. Why not? Just post it. Another do use captions. If you're doing anything to do with talking, I now watch Netflix with subtitles, which is weird because I can hear English, but I still want the subtitles. And I think maybe our brains are becoming that dead that we just like things as easy as possible. I don't know. I don't know the science behind it, but if you're going to do talking and stuff, I would recommend using captions. Tutorials tend to be quite good. We don't really do them for us, but if you're doing
Would you not find that with the captions? So for me, the reason I do the captions when I'm speaking is because some people, like I'll be in situations sometimes where I am scrolling, but maybe I'm on a train, I don't have my earphones or whatever, and I want to know what they're talking about, but I can't listen because I can't hear them. Like you want to be able to see what they're actually saying, but you can't, because obviously if you do, you're gonna end up having to put the volume up. And sometimes as well, if someone is talking about something maybe that's a bit intimate, maybe it's a bit like you don't want anyone else hearing it, you might want just to have captions. So I definitely recommend captions to people as well. I think captions
is you don't want to be sat on the bus and it's like three ways to make your butt look bigger.
Or even like some of the, you know, I follow some influencers and stuff that talk about, you know, sexual health. It's like three ways to get the best orgasm ever. Can you imagine? I'll be like,
Yeah, exactly.
I think captions
are really good. And I think don't do, so we're on to don'ts. Don't overthink it. Like now there's some long content that's doing really well because sometimes I just have my phone there. I'm not even, it's like a podcast. Someone's talking about something and it's just there. So, you know, you don't need to make it quick and snappy. It can be long, like whatever you feel is easiest for you to do means you're probably best at that because that comes most naturally to you. Don't worry about like the length or anything like that. I don't think hashtags work as much anymore. We still use them here and there, I think out of habit. I don't know about hashtags. I don't think we have ever properly analyzed the algorithm or tried to follow what is happening. And I think that you should do what you think you're good at and what you enjoy rather than trying to overanalyze the ins and outs of something that really is a mystery and always changing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think as well, like, don't be afraid to change your aesthetic or change the way you post. Like, at least I did recently. I was only posting poll content. And the truth is that poll content doesn't get you engagement. Like, what do you say when someone does a really good combo? What do you say apart from, oh, well done, that was great? Or, you know, you can't really say much. Like, whereas if you're posting content where people can actually engage with it and talk to you about it, it kind of, you know, gives you more of a chance of actually engaging with your followers. And I think people sometimes, like you'd said, talky posts where the people can talk to you, people don't just want to buy from Hella. They want to know and be part of the Hella family. Do you know what I mean? They like to know, like, do you like this stuff? Do you like this? What do you want from us?
Then they are like, we do have full on conversations and sometimes even voice note conversations with people DMing us on Hella. Like, I want to know and I want to hear. And it's trying to, in this sort of abyss of content and mess and chaos, have some kind of meaningful community and relationship with people. It goes both ways. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely does. To wrap up, I just want to get an idea of what's your plan for Hella over the next 5 years? Like, all of the brands. Are you not calling it the Wolf Collection now? Is it called the Wolf Collection?
We have the parent kind of company is Wolf Brands Collective.
Wolf Brands, yeah. Yes. I love that. That's so cool.
Darling. Okay, so for clothes, we have in the next year or two a lot of unisex, if that's a thing anymore, but just like very androgynous loungewear, which I'm really excited about. It's very fun. Cool. I have the samples downstairs and I'm really excited. So we've got a lot of loungewear coming. It's still very much adhering and staying to the kind of like hustler and pole dancer roots, but there's a lot of really cool stuff like that. We also obviously have a lot of new launches, which is exciting, but with CXAX, I want to grow and I want to bring out a lot more stuff that people can just wear day to day because that's kind of my uniform now because I barely get a chance to train. So it's kind of the stuff I'm wearing the most. So CXAX, that's the plan. Hella, I have a lot of obviously big grand plans for. But for the moment, for the next year or two, we're just going to carry on growing in our key markets, the US being a huge market, of course. So keep growing there as well. I would eventually like to bring out mainstream shoes that don't have a platform because I think a lot of shoes are really boring. I also would like to bring about matching handbags, clutch bags for strippers, because you would need a little clutch bag for your tipping dollars. And how cool if the fabric is the exact same fabric as the shoe. That'd be
brilliant.
God,
that's such a great idea. Very clever.
So there's a lot of like things there that I'd like to do. And I would like to, yeah, with Hella go a lot more mass with having really cool statement shoes. Like you're always looking for your dress. You're looking for your dress. You're like, I want the dress. And then you're like, what shoes match? And I want this to be, I know what shoes I'm wearing, what dress will match kind of thing for going out. So yeah, a lot of our shoes I would like to bring out without the platform at one point. That's for Hella. And then for Hoa, hopefully this year, we will be bringing out hard lingerie, because Hoa currently
is hardcore lingerie.
Because currently we just have the bikinis. So the showgirl stripper bikinis, they clip off. Because fashion is theater and you just shouldn't have something that is uncomfortable to get off if the point of it is getting it off. And if you're spending a lot of money on lingerie, it's because you want to take it off or someone else to take it off. You're not be fumbling around trying to get out of straps and everything like that and taking it off your ankles. So I wanted to do that. We obviously do the bikinis, which are direct matches to the shoes, which is pretty epic because then you actually have a matching outfit, not an outfit you've managed to make match, but a full matching outfit. But yeah, later this year, we hopefully have hard lingerie. And what I consider hard lingerie is like properly push-up bombshell bras, underwear. The reason it's under a different brand, Hoa, is because this stuff isn't pole-friendly. I did not want to bring it under CXX and people be like, my boob came out or actually didn't cover me up enough. That's because it's lingerie. It's not pole wear. It's right, very sexy. Yeah, like I say, garters, suspenders, thongs.
So it's
and
more like wear on the pole at your own risk type situation.
Exactly. And we even have one of the Hoa collections coming quite soon, which I wouldn't consider hard lingerie. It's got a pajama feel to it next month, maybe when this is coming out. It's super cutesy. It will look amazing on the pole, but I'm just not promising that this has been built for working out in, because it's not. It's been built in to look hot in. So my boobs actually spectacularly stayed in and I was like, oh, this is pretty good. We should definitely sell this on CXX, not just Hella. And we're not ready to make the Hoa website yet. But yeah, it's the Hoa brand is certainly more sexy. So definitely for like strippers, definitely for anyone and everyone who wants to look hot, whether it's on the pole or whether it's just underneath clothes or whether you're feeling like getting lucky. But it is lingerie. So I'm not going to pretend that it's been built to try and keep everything in, you know?
Yeah, yeah, amazing. So many lots plans, and I can't wait to see it all come to fruition. I'm always eagerly awaiting your social media posts. Keep up the amazing work with all your social media pages. It's super inspiring to me, and I've told you this many times before, so I know you're so bored of me hearing it, but in terms of business wise you are such an inspiration to me, so thank you so much. And I know that this conversation will have inspired so many others as well. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on, and I hope that I'll get to see you at some point in the future. But until then, I will just send you lots of my love and I'll see you
soon. Come over to Polemasters Playhouse, June 6th, baby.
Oh, yes.
Our takeover.
Well, for anyone who's listening to this, June 6th, get over there. June 6th. Actually away.
If you're in Hollywood.
I do really actually want to go. I do absolutely want to go there. So next year,
it's
I want
one
to
of
go
the best
to the
events
US, and I
you'll ever go to in your life. Yeah.
I can't wait. It sounds amazing. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you.
Bye, babe. See
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Make sure you keep an eye out for next week's episode. I'm so excited for you to hear it. And let us know what you want us to be asking. If you've got some questions, make sure you send them over to me at Dan Rosenpol or over to our Polols page at Polols. And let us know what questions do you want us to ask. Until next time. Bye.
That was all the tea that you can get this week. Join me next time right here. It's the weekly.